Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanz in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, May 26, 2023. Authorities in Lake State say six people were killed and one wounded during an ambush in Rumbek North County.
They have confirmed these are the youth that came all the way from Longjiang community, Tony East County of Warapi State. They know themselves. They are always in crisis, in conflict. Of course, that's what has happened. It is very unfortunate incident because these are innocent group. Elders have nothing to do with the crisis, revenge and all that.
And the French medical charity Doctors Without Borders say some 30,000 internally displaced persons in Warapi State need urgent help.
The situation here is still very severe because the conflict is still ongoing. And considering that this area is likely to get flooded during the rainy season, the situation can only get worse and even more difficult for the population.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in South Sudan's Lake State say six fishermen were killed while another one was wounded in Rumbek North County on Thursday. The officials are pointing fingers at some armed young men from Warap State who the officials say are responsible for the attack. William Sandemabor reports from Rumbek, Lake State.
The acting Minister of Information in Lake State, William Koje Kirjok, says six people were killed in Rumbek North County. Kirjok says most of the deceased were ambushed by a group from Warap State.
They have confirmed these are the youth that came all the way from Longjiang community, Tony East County of Warap State. They know themselves. They are always in crisis, in conflict. Of course, that's what has happened. It is very unfortunate incident because these are innocent group. Elders have nothing to do with the crisis, revenge and all that.
The commissioner of Rumbek North County, Arop Kumbai, told VOA that the attackers escaped towards the directions of the Warap State. He says security forces from Rumbek North County also followed the footprints of the attackers up to the border of Lake State and Warap State.
The best they should do two are only two. One to apprehend wrongdoers and then talk to their people not to repeat that one again and convince them to come to the table for the dialogue.
Authorities in Warap State say they have no reports of young men from Tonj who were involved in an attack in Rumbek North County. Wal Mayom is the Minister of Information Minister of Warap State. He says fighting over fishing grounds is common in the area, adding that the fishermen from other states of South Sudan have frequent fishing ponds in Lake State.
You know very well that at the fishing ground between Rumbek North and Longjiang is also a fishing ground that is combined with also people from Unity State, from Mayandi in particular. And there has actually been, you know, a lot of crashes over fishing areas there. So the suspects are not actually from the side of Longjiang, according to the investigation made by the commissioner.
Kerjok says Warap and Lake State officials plan to engage the two communities of Tony East and Rumbek North County in a dialogue aimed at reconciliations to avoid future clashes. A peace conference aimed at restoring harmony between the two communities of Tony East County of Warap State and Rumbek North County of Lake State is set for the early June. For VOA News, I am William Sandemabur, reporting from Rumbek, Lake State.
The French medical charity Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, warns that with anticipated rainy season, the conditions of some 30,000 internally displaced persons sheltering in Twitch County of Warap State could become worse. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Intercommunal clashes between young men from Twitch County and their counterparts in the disputed Abyei region last year over land forced families to seek refuge in Warap State. 32-year-old Atem Ayuel, a father of four, is one of the internally displaced persons in Twitch County. He says he and his family had to escape to Gomgoy IDP camp during the 2021 and 2022 clashes. He says 8 agencies stopped distributing relief food last year, leaving him and thousands of other displaced persons in dire need of basic commodities.
Right now, where we are staying in Gomgoi, women could go to the bush and look for seeds of a tree called lalop. They collect the lalop seeds, cook, and we eat them. There are also some wild plants women go and look for them in the river. They can bring that thing, dry it, and it's cooked and people eat. Also, people can go and look for fish. If they don't find fish, then people stay with hunger.
28-year-old Martin Malual, who is a father of three, says he too left his home village last year in February following the intercommunal classes. He says each family at Nyindeng Ayuel displaced camp receives 4 kilograms of sorghum, 2 cups of lentils, and 600 milliliters of cooking oil per month. Malual says that food ration is not enough to sustain families until the end of the month. Malual and many of the IDPs have not returned to their home villages due to the insecurity. Beatrice Martins de la Fonte, MSF's project coordinator in Twitch County, says 30,000 IDPs at various camps in Twitch County need urgent support.
The situation here is still very severe because the conflict is still ongoing. And considering that this area is likely to get flooded during the rainy season, the situation can only get worse and even more difficult for the population here. Despite all this, we continue to run our medical programs, but the acute needs as food, water supply, sanitation, shelter and protection are still remaining to be covered.
The border disputes between young men from Abyei and Twitch County of Warab State have left thousands of families displaced. President Salva Kiir sent Vice President Hassan Abdel Baghi last year to quell the tension between the two communities. South Sudan's Council of States formed a committee to investigate the root cause of the conflict. The committee accused some prominent South Sudanese individuals for fueling the conflict between communities in Twitch County and the contested Abyei area. The issue has remained unresolved. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still on displaced persons, some South Sudanese who fled the ongoing fighting in Sudan say they escaped under heavy fighting between Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary rapid support forces in Khartoum and other cities in Sudan. One of the returnees, Hamisa John, who lived in Sudan for 20 years, described her journey from Sudan to South Sudan as difficult and dangerous. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
24-year-old Hamisa John says there was no fighting in her residential area of Dar es Salaam in Khartoum by the time she and her husband and their 2-year-old baby boy fled the area. She says her family traveled safely by bus to South Sudan's border town of Reng. John says her troubles started when she stepped into Reng town.
When we came, we reached Reng at the border of South Sudan. To get out from Reng and reach Faluj was very difficult. No transport, people sometimes used lorries. When we got out of Khartoum, it was easy because there was public transport. And when we met with the soldiers, they allowed us to get out without any challenge.
She says life at Faluj was too expensive for returnees who did not have enough money for food, water, and accommodation.
Especially at the airport, things are very expensive. A small bottle of water cost 1,000 South Sudanese pounds, and getting it is more difficult, better at the residence. A plate of food is at 2,000 SSP, where they only put 3 paper food and very little sauce, which cannot satisfy a man.
Gloria Gunia is a resident of Juba who took her son to Khartoum for medical care, but was trapped inside Khartoum when violence broke out across the city on April 15th. Gunia says she used a hide-and-seek tactic to avoid being caught up in heavy fighting between the Sudan Armed Forces and paramilitary rapid support forces.
I was there for like almost five months. I went there in December and 6th, so I was there. I took my son for treatment. We were there, so the war broke out while I was there. So we managed to stay there. We escaped from home. We shifted to some different areas. So by then, the treatment was not completely because we are there for some times, and the doctor also referred us to India for the operation because he told us the operation is not going to be there in Sudan.
She says she and her son waited for commercial flights in Khartoum for 2 weeks, adding that life was difficult for the first 2 weeks of the fighting.
We stay like for 2 weeks after the war broke out, so we are there. Things were not easy, and flights were not there, so we decided to come via Reng, and from Khartoum even to Rabak. It wasn't easy because the fighting was also there. After we left Soba Sherik, the fight broke out like an hour. We left the place, so it wasn't easy. But by the grace of God, I thank God, we reached safely to Rabak, we reached to Reng, we reached to Foluge. Even getting flight wasn't easy, but good enough because I had a child, so we managed to get a flight. The third day we reached Foluge. So by the time also we reached Juba, the flight also crashed, went to different direction, but we thank God we reached safely, and now I'm here in Juba.
John says she paid 60,000 South Sudanese pounds, equivalent to $70, for a plane ticket from Foluge to Juba. She says she hopes the fighting in Khartoum ends so she can return because she prefers living in Khartoum than South Sudan. The UN estimates that millions of South Sudanese are now returning home due to instability in the Sudan. It also says more than 70,000 South Sudanese returnees and refugees have crossed into South Sudan and are waiting for transport to their hometowns across South Sudan's 10 states and 3 administrative areas. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, residents of Khartoum say they can still hear gunfire. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is wealth an important factor when making marriage decisions?
Wealth is not an important factor when making marriage decisions because most wealth is best acquired when you're together as a couple.
Of course, I think that any decision that involves another person, it's only fair to include wealth as an important thing. Like, I can live on almost no money, but I couldn't expect my wife or my children to.
Not wealth, but security, financial security. Because if you're planning to have kids, then you need to provide for them.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. There are new violations on Thursday of Sudan's short-term ceasefire, which took effect on Tuesday. The UN says the fighting between the Sudan Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces has forced more than 1.3 million people to flee the country. Mohamed Al-Taashi is a former member of Sudan's Transitional Sovereign Council. From Khartoum, he tells VOA's James Batty that ceasefire violations were not only reported in Khartoum, but in El-Fashir, Darfur.
A conflict widely being spread over the country since this morning. It is the third day of the truce, widely reported from Al-Fashir and also reported from Zelenge, Darfur. And I can confirm here from Khartoum, where I'm living, many parts of this capital trigger a conflict since this morning. Been used on all these conflicts, airstrike. I can hear dust everywhere and heavily gun. So yes, the conflict been renewed today, despite the ceasefire agreement, despite the continuation of suffering of the people.
When you and I spoke earlier this week about the beginning of the ceasefire, you were optimistic that things were moving in the right direction. What happened?
Yes, when this agreement been signed, not only me optimistic, I can see all the people are very happy because these two parties given them some hopes. So I was optimistic because of the good reason. Number one, the parties offered their commitment to implement this agreement as it is. And international community put its heavy weight behind this agreement and put a pressure, actual pressure, on the parties to get this agreement implemented. So yes, and I still see there is a good reason for this two party to allow the people to get their life continued. That's never been a case, sadly. And never been a case, I think, and I believe, because of one of these parties made a huge U-turn and shows how it's not ready for an agreement. And this is very concerning.
Who is responsible for the renewed fighting? Is it both sides? Is it the Sudanese army or the rapid response forces?
Certainly, that is a good question. I think there is a problem, and I can also say that is a crisis inside the Sudanese army. A major division is going on that organization, and I think it's a very complicated division. The Islamists exist, the Egyptians exist, some commands exist, and that's made all this chaos. I don't believe that Burhan has overall control over this organization. So consequences of this chaos, I think they cannot give any assurance that they are going to implement any agreement they did part of it.
That's Mohammed Al-Tahashi, a former member of Sudan's Transitional Sovereign Council. He was speaking to VOA's James Batty. The fighting in Sudan has destroyed hospitals and medical care in the country and made patients who fled the conflict desperate for treatment. One Sudanese doctor who also left Sudan is struggling to help refugees at a camp in neighboring Chad. Henry Wilkins reports from Kofron, Chad.
A month ago, Mohammed Adam gathered what medicine he could when he heard the Janjaweed, an armed group known for killing civilians, was about to storm his hometown of Tindelti in West Darfur. He says he loaded the medicine on a horse-drawn cart and rode the kilometre or so across the border to neighbouring Chad. Since then, he has set up a makeshift pharmacy in Kafrun, a refugee site where about 10,000 people live. He says they are most in need of medicine for children because kids are getting sick with infections, diarrhea, coughing, and especially measles. He says most of his patients are children. He says he pays for the medicine his patients receive himself. Medina Ahmed Ishak has just arrived at the pharmacy seeking treatment for her baby, Abdul Razak. She says that Abdul Razak is sick with malaria and diarrhea, and that any food they had is now gone. They don't have enough to eat, yet she prays her son will one day grow up to be a doctor. Since Sudan's conflict began on April 15th, Chad and aid groups have struggled to provide enough food for refugees to eat. Medical aid is scarce too, according to refugees. Inside Sudan, the healthcare system has all but collapsed. This video purports to show a hospital in Khartoum gutted by the fighting. Others in the city are said to have been severely damaged, along with hospitals in West Darfur, where much fighting has taken place. The medical non-profit Doctors Without Borders said Tuesday that its medical facilities had been looted, while a staff member had already been killed in April in the fighting. It says the looting will have life-ending consequences for the Sudanese people. Amir El-Tom is the Assistant Secretary General of the Sudanese American Physicians Association. He says with the Sudanese government not functioning because of the fighting, his organisation is helping fund the running of some hospitals. A week-long ceasefire that began Monday should allow some medical aid to enter the country.
Some of the hospitals that have been shut down for various reasons are the largest in Sudan, some of the tertiary hospitals that other states referred to. Basically, the fighting has to stop. Otherwise, one catastrophe after the other in different or various fields of medicine will ensue.
Adam says refugees need more help from the international community, however. He asks all non-profits and local communities to help the refugees because they really need it. They have no place to protect themselves from the rain, which helps spread diseases. He is also concerned about the spread of cholera, which could turn into an epidemic, which would be catastrophic. He says he's doing what he can with what little he has. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Kafrun, Chad.
We love to hear your comments on issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. We'll begin with this listener who says, hello, Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. I'm Santino Mariel Majok from Mapel in Western Bahar Ghazal State, Wau. I'm appealing to the government of South Sudan to address the high rates of USA dollar in the country so that the traders can reduce the prices of commodities in the markets, because our innocent civilians are dying with South Sudanese pounds in their hands without buying anything. This fan says, hello, VOA Africa. This is Asega Ludanga, as usual, from DRC Congo. My message goes to all South Sudanese. If inflation is rocking the prices of commodities in the country, it is better to join agriculture, because agriculture is the backbone of the nation. Thanks, VOA Studio 14. James Madingol in Juba, South Sudan says, hello, VOA. Sudan warring parties should accept dialogue to give a little breathing space to their innocent civilians who already suffered war consequences tremendously. Mal Adaumal in Seattle, Washington State says, hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. This nation is on the brink of starvation due to hesitancy among the signatories to the 2018 agreement. Hence, whatever is happening in Khartoum may perhaps bounce into South Sudan if we don't quickly implement the peace and rush to elections. My question is, does South Sudan have a functional parliament? Martin Manuel Wugol in Juba writes, hello, Nabil and John Tanza. Given endless conflict in the Sudan, I strongly urge the two generals to consider the suffering of the Sudanese people and stop the war immediately, because there is no military solution, but political settlement is the best option in ending such a senseless war like the war going on in Sudan. Peter Gony Anyang Majongdul in Ayot Town says, the series of looting of humanitarian convoy in Jonglei State needs a serious investigation. Those four captured must be thoroughly interrogated and should reveal the rest that are behind this barbaric act. John McQuay, a mom from St. Andrew Cathedral in Bor Town of Jonglei State, says, many child abductions in Jonglei State. 39 children abducted in Duke County. Let the government provide security to civilians. Samuel Ramon in Yei writes, hi, John Tanz and Nabil Biagio. We African people should stand up and produce legal African banknotes, which would circulate in African countries and the world at large. We African people are more educated than when we were colonized by the French and British in the 18th century. This South Sudan in Focus listener says, dear VOA, the words of famous intellectuals of all time like Charles Darwin are coming into play in South Sudan, survival of the fittest. South Sudanese are doing everything within their means, robbing humanitarian food, ambushing passenger vehicles just to make a living, because the government of South Sudan cares less of its citizens. It's only in South Sudan that the government doesn't care about its citizens, but only about themselves and their families. This fan says, hello VOA team, call me Daniel Dundagbai from Rakmajok in Lake State. When one part of the body is injured, the whole body is at unrest. The intercommunal fighting between Luanjang and the people of Rumbek North County needs to be resolved once and for all by all the governors, such that dividends of peace are harvested by all people. It was sounding bad to have heard the killing of six innocent fishermen who were struggling for survival at the landing site. These murderers need to be apprehended so that the law takes its due course. Mading Malwal Alwong in Juba says, the Republic of South Sudan is endowed with great economic potential. However, since 2011, the economic priorities of the country were not being established. Instead of using oil revenues to fuel the agricultural sector, the economy was mismanaged, resulting in hyperinflation exacerbated by war, which commenced in 2013. Sabr Isaac Khamis in Yembe of Western Equatoria State writes, Sudan's one-month-plus outstanding conflict will not come to an end because General Burhan has been wrongly advised to remove his deputy, General Dagalo, and replace him with Malik Agar. It is totally a worrying move and will definitely cost the country. I urge both the AU and the international community to quickly intervene in Sudan's conflict to bring relative peace. Otherwise, more bloodshed will continue. Thanks. And we end with this listener who says, hello, VOA. I am Mabor Alat-Rengo in Rumbek in Lake State. Our economy has collapsed. Life has become very difficult. The high rates of the dollar within this week made prices of commodities to shoot up while our leaders are watching silently. This is the worst situation. We are in doomsday situations. May God have mercy on us. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from all of you. Keep those comments coming.
And I will repeat, keep your texts and voice messages brief, and we shall sample some of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with Mawa and the song Mata Kore. Listening to Mawa and the song Junubia. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Gwen Uten, and engineer, Ustaza Zainab, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.